From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I think one of the worst things about human beings is it is very easy for us to take things for granted. You know, we get used to things really, really quick, and we just assume that's the way that things are supposed to be. This is probably true in real life with, like, important stuff. I think it's also true when it comes to sports as well, that we have a tendency to just sort of accept whatever comes our way as if, well, this is the way that things are supposed to be. Taking as an example here, the 2017 season for Georgia. Georgia lost its presumed starting quarterback on the first game of the season. Jacob Eason went down early against Appalachian State, and for a lot of teams, that would have been the death knell for the entire year right there. You lose your starter, you got to go to a backup, and the backup's going to be incapable, the backup's going to be ineffective, and the season's going to be more mediocre than it otherwise would have been. But Jake Fromm came in and played really well and earned the starting job for the rest of the season, but along the way also, I think, took Georgia to a place that otherwise wouldn't have gone. I don't know that you get to the SEC championship without Jake Fromm. I don't know that you make the college football playoff in 2017 without Jake Fromm. Jake Fromm put together one of the most dazzling freshman quarterback seasons that would have been possible. And there are different ways to spin numbers. That's the way that stats kind of work from time to time. But if you watch Jake Fromm, if you lived through the year of Jake Fromm, you know it was a really impressive season, even if when it's all said and done, by the time you get to January and you'd seen him for, what, 14, 15 games, whatever it ended up being, you sort of had just sort of, you know, taken it for granted and gotten used to it after a while. But here for a moment on Dog Nation Daily, let's go way back in time for a moment. Let's go way back to before Jake Fromm made his first start against Notre Dame. We had all seen him play some against Appalachian State. Kirby Smart had seen him a lot in practice, trusted him on the road in South Bend, Indiana, and he gave us a little bit of an explanation as to why. Here is Kirby Smart.
Jake is he's a gamer. I mean, he's just a kid that grew up around the game. I mean, I look at him and compare him to what would be a coach's son, a football junkie. He likes it. He loves being around it. He's always cheering and fired up out there. I mean, every time he makes a good throw or good play in practice, he's jacked up, and he's as excited for the kid who made the play as he is himself. I mean, it's a defensive coach at times. You watch him do it, and you see him cheering, and you think like he's rubbing it in. That's just who he is, and he really is passionate about the game, and he can't let his emotions get in the way for him, because for him, it's just an excitement. He's just been that kind of way. He's real competitive.
I think that's kind of a cool moment from Kirby Smart there, because that's confidence that he was showing in his quarterback before the first start took place. The first game against Notre Dame, the moments that would happen after that, blowout win against Tennessee, blowout win against Florida, the SEC championship. Before all of that took place, Kirby Smart already had that level of confidence in Jake Fromm. I think that's a really cool thing right there. And as I said, we can almost forget the fact that most freshman quarterbacks don't play that well. And even if you want to take the sort of school year out of it, just forget freshman for a moment. Most first-year starting quarterbacks are going to have a hard time, I think, maintaining the standard that Jake Fromm set for himself last year for Georgia. What brings this to mind for me is this week, another SEC quarterback who's hopeful to be a starter, not a freshman quarterback here, but a guy that's hopeful of being a starter, talked a little bit about Jake Fromm, and he talked about how he would hope that his 2018 season might be a little bit like what Fromm did a year ago. His name is Miles Brennan. He's in competition to be the LSU starting quarterback, and when he thinks about, you know, having success and doing some things in the SEC, Jake Fromm is one of those names that does come to mind for him. Here is Brennan this week talking about what Fromm did in 2017.
I've talked to him a number of times. Obviously, he's a great kid and a great quarterback. You know, he made plays when he needed to. He was smart with the ball, and he was a leader.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that description from Brennan there, I think, speaks pretty well to what Fromm was able to do a year ago, that he was a leader. And it's not easy to lead when the guys you're trying to lead are older than you are. When they've been doing college football for longer than you have been, to call someone a leader in that role is to actually give them a pretty good compliment. And, you know, Fromm did more than just avoid mistakes. He also made the big throws, as so many Georgia fans have talked about during the offseason, that back shoulder throw that Fromm got so good at making with the Javon Wims a year ago, the replacement for Wims here in 2018, who gets and takes advantage of that back shoulder throw from Fromm this year. It's going to be one of the crucial questions, but it all sort of speaks to what Fromm was able to do in his freshman season 2017. Miles Brennan certainly seemed to notice that. Brendan did explain also when he spoke to the media there around Baton Rouge here this week that he and Fromm have actually become friends, and they've talked a little bit about the season and how you develop as an SEC quarterback. Maybe a bit of a bond here between a couple guys who sort of understand that role, that position, maybe as well as anybody. It's a pretty small fraternity, and Brennan and Fromm seem to share a bond within that. Here is a little more from Brennan on Jake Fromm.
We're both big hunters, so that's most of the time how the conversation would start. But, you know, after games, you know, I'd congratulate him and vice versa. And we talk about, I know when we played Mississippi State, they were playing them the next week, so we're just kind of going back on what State's defense was like. So him and I have a good relationship.
Kind of interesting there to hear that Jake Fromm going into a big SEC start at home. This would have been, I guess, what, the third start for Fromm that season. First SEC game, though, against Mississippi State. Sounds like Fromm had a little extra intel from a guy in Brennan who had already seen them. Of course, Mississippi State had success against LSU, but Brennan had seen something from Mississippi State. He and Fromm kind of have that conversation there. I find that to be kind of interesting. But I think overall, the point here of this discussion is that Brennan was impressed with Fromm, and I think that Georgia fans ought to be impressed, too. And listen, I know what the story's going to be here throughout the rest of the spring and heading into the summer and really for most of the 2018 season. Jake Fromm is not going to be the only Georgia quarterback that gets attention here in 2018. Obviously, Justin Fields, justifiably, is going to get a lot of attention paid to him as well. But what Fromm does this season, I think, could be truly special. I think this could be one of those years in which Jake Fromm now, with a full season under his belt, more experience here for 2018, takes his game to another place. There's plenty of room for Justin Fields. He's going to get his snaps. He's going to get his opportunities. But I expect a big encore from Jake Fromm here in 2018. I look forward to watching that all play out. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are glad you're with us today. Whether you watch us on video, 10 a.m., the Dog Nation Facebook or the Dog Nation YouTube page, you can check us out there. We love being on the radio with our friends in Athens on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we're available in podcast form, Apple Podcasts, Android devices. Wherever you check out your podcast, you can find Dog Nation Daily, including the world-famous DogNation.com. We will post the show immediately after we're done today. You can hear the full audio version of the program. We are glad to have you with us. We have talked a lot this week about the upcoming decision on May 5th for five-star linebacker Owen Popoe. It's one of those big dates that UGA fans have sort of had circled from a recruiting standpoint here for quite some time, and there has been some chatter as of late that maybe Popoe could be trending away from Georgia. Well, we've got more for you on that today. Enemy intel, if you will, from the other side, Benjamin Wolk, who covers Auburn recruiting for SEC Country, who's gone on record as saying he thinks Popoe picks Auburn. We'll let Ben explain exactly why coming up in a few minutes here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll also hear later on from Georgia coach Kirby Smart, who made a fairly bold statement about a player that has gotten a lot of attention so far this spring. I think when you combine what Kirby Smart has said by way of compliment and the overall attention this player has gotten, it could equal a pretty interesting scenario here in the fall of 2018. We'll tell you about that coming up a little bit later on, too. Before that, though, let me let you hear from another Georgia player, a different Georgia player here, on a subject that's been really a big topic of conversation now seemingly ever since Kirby Smart became a Georgia coach, certainly within the last, you know, couple months of this offseason. There's been some thought of, hey, can the tight ends at Georgia finally get more involved? Yes, you love seeing those running backs getting the football the way they are, and there's obviously big excitement for the Georgia wide receivers. I thought that Chip Towers' piece on Terry Godwin this week at DogNation.com was great about what, you know, he might be bringing to the table here for 2018. But while the wide receivers getting involved, the running backs are getting involved, can there finally be more catches for the tight ends here? Can we utilize the former five-star Isaac Nauta, the very high four-star Charlie Warner? Can we get these guys more involved in the offense? Well, Nauta in particular did meet with the media this week, and one of the reasons why some people think there may be more involvement for the tight ends in the offensive game plan here in 2018 is because the offensive coordinator, Jim Chaney, is now doing somewhat double duty as tight ends coach during practice. Nauta was asked, the fact that Chaney's working as your position coach, does that mean more catches for you and your tight end brethren in the game plan this season? Nauta seems to think that could be the case.
Yeah, I think so. You know, obviously this team's different than what we had last year. You know, we had two of the best rushers in SEC history, in Georgia history. So, like I said, it's just a different team. You know, those guys are going to get the ball because they're super talented. And, you know, it's just the way it was. And I improved as a blocker. So, you know, you can look at it one of two ways. Yeah, I didn't get as many balls. But I think I had a better year overall, actually, than I did my freshman year as far as growth, as far as blocking. So, to some other people, it might have been like, hey, he didn't have as many. He wasn't as productive. But, you know, for me, I know I got better as a player. So, you know, that's the way I've looked at it. And, you know, this year, you know, obviously I want to improve on what I did last year, and catching the ball and making plays is one of those areas.
I think that what Nada says there is pretty interesting, and I don't think it's meant to be disregarded. For him to say, even though I wasn't getting as many catches, I thought I had a better year because I was blocking better. I don't think that's puffery. I think that that's one of the things that, that Kirby Smart has openly challenged those tight ends to do. He has spoken before about the fact that one of the reasons why you maybe didn't see them show up catching the football as much is because he was still challenging them. I think he means both Nada and Werner here to embrace the physical part of the game. So for Nada to say by the end of the season, I felt like I was doing more of that, I think there is something real behind that. It's also worth pointing out here that Nada had a big catch for Georgia in a big game, caught a touchdown in the SEC championship against Auburn, which sort of brings to mind the last five-star tight end in the SEC, O.J. Howard, when he was in Alabama. You know, the same knock was true of him, that he didn't get a lot of catches during the regular season. A lot of Alabama fans were asking why weren't there more, and then Howard showed up in a big way in two national championship games for Alabama, the game against Clemson, which the Tide won, and then the subsequent game, which Alabama lost, but O.J. Howard still had a big game there. Overall, I do think there could be more catches for Nada and Werner and the tight ends this season, but it's also important to remember here that the catches for tight ends means lack of touches for somebody else, and you know, Georgia fans have to decide for themselves. If you want more catches for the tight ends, which wide receiver do you want to take opportunities away from? Which running back do you want to take away opportunities from? Because Georgia's not going to run 100 plays a game. You know, Georgia is still going to be a balanced offense that's still playing a certain brand of ball control attack here. It's not going to be 100 opportunities for guys offensively, so more opportunities for the tight ends means subtracting from somebody else, which is a trade and a balance that Jim Chaney's obviously going to be working through. I still go back to what we've said over and over again, which is the presence of the tight end on the field still has value, even if they're not getting catches, because of the fact they do become an extra blocker and an extra component for defenses to think about. And when Nada spoke more to the media this week, that issue of blocking came up again, that one of the things that he's learning from Jim Chaney during this time of working with him at practice as the Georgia tight ends coach is a bit more about blocking and just being more crisp at the tight end position overall. Pretty interesting stuff from Isaac Nada here.
Yeah, he's definitely put a big emphasis on blocking and route running, really. He coached, you know, tight ends in the league, so he's got a lot of different techniques and stuff that I think have already really helped us. And it's been kind of eye-opening for me, really. I feel like I've grown already, you know, as a blocker just in, you know, the couple weeks that he's been coaching us. So, you know, it's good for us, man, to learn that stuff and to learn from a guy that, you know, has been at the highest level and taught it there. So, hasn't been easy. He's been pushing us, and we've had a lot of reps this spring, so it's been long practices for us, but it's only going to benefit us in the long run.
Kind of funny there that Nada references the same thing twice in that same clip, the idea of working with a coach, offensive coordinator, of course, but position coach here too, that has experience teaching and coaching the tight end position in the National Football League. You ever have a private conversation with a college football player? That's one of the things they love more than anything else, getting some of those techniques that are used in the NFL, because obviously a guy like Isaac Nada that looks the way that he looks, that has the repertoire of skills that he has, he's clearly thinking about the NFL, and he wants to be talking to position coaches like Chaney that have been there before and might be able to tell him how to get there. It's no secret here. It's no accident that Nada references the same idea twice there, that Chaney's got NFL experience when it comes to the tight ends. One more thing from Isaac Nada here, though, explaining that when you see Jim Chaney at practice, or what Nada sees from Chaney at practice, is actually a very different side than what we normally get to see when we see the public face of Jim Chaney. I thought this was pretty funny. Listen to Nada one more time here.
He coaches a little tougher, I would say, being the offensive coordinator and the tight end coach. He doesn't want his guys to not be successful, so he always says, you know, if we play bad, it's a bad reflection on him. So he wants to coach us up and get us ready to play and do as well as we possibly can.
I think that's pretty funny, because when we see Jim Chaney, you know, open locker rooms in the postseason, or, you know, once or twice a year when he will speak to the media, this is a guy that seems to always have a smile on his face. He's probably the closest to like a stand-up comedian than any coach in the SEC probably is. He's certainly the funniest coach, with apologies maybe to Sam Pittman, certainly the funniest coach on Georgia's roster, and so you have a tendency to think that he sort of wears that personality all the time. But no, Isaac Nada says, no, he can be a pretty hard coach behind closed doors when he's working with the tight ends there at practice, and it sounds like, based on the description that Isaac Knott is giving, all that's going well. And we may see a more physical brand of Georgia tight end here in 2018, which is what Kirby Smart wants. And maybe that leads to also more catches for these guys like Warner and Nada, which is what the fans and certainly the tight ends themselves want. It should be fun to watch itself play out. Good to have you with us here today. It's Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza. And don't forget, Marco's got a great offer for you right now. They want you to meet the boss of all cheese pizzas. They call it the Big Cheese. It's a blend of five cheeses together, and right now you can get an extra large for just $10.99. Great deal from Marco's. We love having Marco's Pizza here with us today on Dog Nation Daily. Love having you with us as well. We know you've got questions about the future of five-star linebacker Owen Popoe. Let's find out more about that right now as we welcome in our buddy and our colleague from SEC Country, Benjamin Wolk, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And I will say hello here to my buddy Ben Wolk, frequent guest here on Dog Nation Daily. We always love having him on the program. Does a great job covering Auburn recruiting. We don't like Auburn, but we like the recruiting news that Ben Wolk provides here. And, Ben, it's good to have you back on the program today. How are you doing?
I'm great, Brandon. Just to give you an idea of how much I love your show and your listeners, I'm actually on vacation right now. I'm up in North Georgia playing some golf for the next 4 days. And I just, when you texted me yesterday asking to call in to talk, there was no way I could turn you down.
Well, Ben, I hate to sneak into your vacation time there, but I am really, really thrilled to have you on the program. So we'll try to make good use of your time here and hope the rest of your vacation goes well. And with all that said, let me record scratch here. Music changes, completely a different tone here. You actually put some dire news up online. Of course, people are somewhat familiar with the 24/7 sports crystal balls. That's where guys like you who are recruiting industry insiders sort of go on record with your predictions. And on May 5th, you put in a public vote that Owen Popoe was going to choose Auburn over Georgia. I guess the floor is yours to kind of explain some of the thought process on that.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been this sort of buzz and trend toward Auburn the last couple of weeks, not just from myself, but from a lot of people. This is something that has been moving this direction for a little while now. You know, recruiting as well as anyone out there. This is by no means a end-all, be-all to this recruitment. I mean, this is still a recruitment that has a month left before he makes a public decision, or a little less than a month left now. And then beyond that, it's still 7 months before he's going to be signing any paperwork. So as Georgia fans, probably better than any fan base knows, there's a long way to go in terms of closing out these recruitments. But Auburn has made a serious push here, and I think that this is probably really the first time in Owen Popoe's recruitment that Georgia feels like they maybe, you know, playing from behind a little bit, have a little bit of a threat. Auburn wasn't a team that was in his top three. I mean, I was on your show about a month ago, probably shortly after an Owen Popoe visit to Auburn, and he said that Georgia was still his number one and that Auburn was his number two. But it was around that time that Auburn was making a major shift from being outside of his top three to right up there. I mean, the relationship that he's built with Travis Williams at Auburn, the Auburn linebackers coach, as well as defensive coordinator Kevin Steele, on top of the fact that Auburn's going to have three graduating seniors from their linebacking core this year. I mean, there are a lot of reasons to understand why Owen would be strongly considering Auburn. I think that if he were to be making his decision, I've written this a little bit, but I think that if he were to be making his decision today, Auburn would be the choice. But like I said, you know, that's 20 or so days until he's making that announcement. And then on top of that, you know, obviously it's a long way until December.
So I went back and listened to the interview the last time you were with us here on the program, just as a sort of preparation for this week, because I knew the proposed story was going to be so big. And the one thing I kept hearing from you the last time you were on the show, and credit to you, you were saying at the time that you thought it was going to come down to Auburn and Georgia, when that's not necessarily what the rest of the industry was necessarily saying. You had Auburn probably higher at the time than some other people did. It seems like some folks have kind of caught up with you since then, but you were certainly talking a lot about Auburn a while ago, and the name that kept coming up over and over again was Travis Williams, the Auburn linebackers coach. Was that a coincidence? I mean, how much of this for Popoe towards Auburn, to the extent that they've even made a push, whether they actually win the commitment or not, to the extent they're making a push here, how much of this is about Popoe's relationship with the Auburn linebackers coach Travis Williams?
I think it's 100%. I mean, Owen calls Travis Williams uncle. I mean, there's a seriously strong relationship there. I mean, when Owen releases top three back in the fall and it didn't include Auburn, I think it came as somewhat of a surprise, maybe even a little bit of a pride shot to Travis Williams specifically, because this is a guy that they had a really strong relationship with. I mean, Auburn, there might not be this feeling there, or, you know, before the Georgia and Alabama games last year, this feeling might not have been there publicly, but I think the people within the Auburn program felt like they were on the cusp of having some, you know, that they were on the verge of doing something great. And so they were sort of surprised when they were not in that top three and that he included a place like Nebraska and not a place like Auburn. So I think that just, you know, from that moment that Owen released the top three without Auburn in it, Travis Williams did everything he could to get back into the conversation. I mean, Owen was at both the Georgia-Auburn game in the fall as well as the Alabama-Auburn game in the fall. And then you throw on top of that at least three visits that I know of that he's taken this spring that haven't really been big event day visits. They've been going up to Auburn for 2 or 3 days and really just hanging out and spending time with Travis Williams. I mean, anybody who's been to Auburn and visits Auburn, I mean, they know that they preach the term family, and it might get a little bit cliche at times. But, I mean, there is a different sort of tight-knit vibe about Auburn and that program. There's just something different about it than there are with some of these other programs like Florida State and Georgia and Alabama that are just, you know, sort of becoming factories. Auburn is a little bit different than that, you know, whether that's a pro or a con, many people have their viewpoint on that. But the fact that, you know, Travis Williams made a point to really start pushing for Owen top row, not that they weren't before, but he realized that if they're not in the top three, he's got to do something seriously different to make a major impression on Owen, and he's clearly made that impression on Owen.
So Auburn's also got some relationships right now. The couple of the teammates of Popo from Grayson, Ja'Kai Clark, as you've reported at SEC Country, he commits to Auburn this week. He gave you some quotes about the fact that, you know, he and Popo and Wanya Morris talk a lot about this. Wanya Morris, an offensive lineman who's also involved with Auburn, doesn't seem like Georgia's really has been that, you know, heavily involved in Wanya Morris's recruitment. You can say the same thing about Ronald Tompkins. Even Kevin Harris is a guy we don't really see connected to a Georgia much anymore. How much of Auburn's growth with Popo here has been based on the fact that they're more involved with other Grayson players right now than Georgia's choosing to be?
Yeah, well, there's no doubt about it that that is going to help Auburn in this conversation. I think with Ja'Kai Clark specifically, it maybe helped Auburn a little bit more with Wanya Morris. Ja'Kai Clark and Wanya Morris play on the same offensive line. They are best friends, really. Owen, truth be told, I think Auburn feels better about landing Owen Papo right now than they do the four-star offensive tackle, Wanya Morris. But, you know, I think that, again, Travis Williams, he's responsible for the Gwinnett County area for Auburn. He has built really strong relationships at Grayson. On the whole, I think that after all the success that Georgia had last cycle, really just dominating the state, I think that Auburn has made a point to try and get their footprint back in there. I mean, you know, in the past, Auburn's had a pretty solid footprint in the state of Georgia. That really wasn't the case last year. I think that they, you know, went into this class making a point to say, hey, you know, if we're going to compete with the likes of Georgia over the next few years, based on what Kirby Smart's establishing recruiting-wise, Auburn's going to have to get some of these top guys out of the state of Georgia. Obviously, Grayson is, you know, one of those factory powerhouses in the state of Georgia that even if, obviously the talent there, but I think that there is some momentum that you can grab by getting some guys from Grayson just because of the clout that a program like that has in the state of Georgia. But, yeah, I mean, Ja'Kai Clark obviously committing earlier this week, that's going to help big time with landing Wanya Morris. Wanya Morris and Owen Popo were on a 3-day visit to Auburn at the beginning of last week, just really hanging out with Travis Williams and for Wanya, you're getting to know Auburn's offensive line coach. So, I mean, that relationship certainly can only help Auburn. I mean, I think that when it comes down to these decisions, more often than not, individuals are having to make their own individual decisions. But I think that Auburn is in a situation right now where they would gladly take Wanya Morris, Owen Popo, and then Ja'Kai Clark at center. And so there is a way that it fits for Auburn this year, and then I think it would work out nicely for those three guys as well.
You bring up the point about Auburn recruiting in the state of Georgia. I want to address that with you coming up in just a minute, because I think it's a really important part of this story, no matter how it goes with Owen Popo. But a couple more points on Popo before we get there. There's a perception here that Popo's kind of changed his mind a lot. You know, at one point in time, as Jeff Sintel pointed out on Dog Nation Daily on Tuesday, you know, Popo was probably heading towards Florida State. Then it was Clemson. Nebraska was in the top three for a while. Now it's not. You know, you've written that, hey, it's a long way before May 5th, and then after that, a long way towards December. How fair is that perception that Popo is one of these guys that is hearing a lot of good pitches from a lot of good places and is a little bit prone to kind of change his mind here and start moving in a different direction?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, like this is a guy who didn't have Auburn in his top three, and now Auburn might be the team to beat. So he's clearly willing to change his mind on some things. What I find interesting is if he, you know, he's very adamant about making this May commitment and getting the decision out of the way. And you would assume that he's doing that so that he can build a class around him. But at the same time, I mean, when Georgia, when if you were to choose Auburn in this case, and you look at the fact that Georgia would be the one, you know, getting that he would not be choosing here, you would assume that Georgia is still going to make a serious, serious push for the next 7 months after that. And Georgia, I mean, just look at last year's class, and I'm sure I'm forgetting some people, but Brenton Cox, Adam Anderson, Justin Fields, Nadab Joseph, Cade Mays, Devon Wilson, Quay Walker, Otis Reed. Like, Georgia's the last recruiting cycle, they weren't afraid when guys were committed to other schools. Yeah. So I don't think that Georgia's going to really concern themselves too much if Owen Favreau does choose Auburn. I think that this is, while he has maybe trended toward Clemson at times and trended toward Florida State, and right now it's just a trend. I mean, it's not like he's made his decision. I'm sure that Georgia will get him on campus at least one more time before he makes his decision. But I think this is the first time that Georgia probably has really felt threatened. I mean, I think that for the most part throughout this process, Georgia has felt like they've been in a pretty good spot for him, and they probably still do feel like they're in a very good spot for him. I just think that if he were making that decision today, it would be Auburn. But, you know, I think that Georgia, now that they are aware of where Owen sort of stands and that there is some serious consideration of another program, now Georgia's going to alter the way they recruit. I mean, it's just the same way as when Auburn didn't, you know, when he wasn't in Auburn's top three, or when Auburn was not in his top three, Auburn had to change its approach. I'm sure Georgia will now sort of take a little slightly different approach with Owen, because he is a guy that is going to have an effect on other guys in the state. Not to say that if he commits to Auburn, a lot of guys are going to want to go to Auburn with him, but he is someone that other guys in the state certainly respect. He's been a guy that, you know, been on the radar since he was a freshman. And he's someone that if other guys see him go somewhere other than Georgia, they'll sit back a second and say, all right, why would Owen choose not to go to Georgia when we just assumed that he likely was? And so that's a guy that Georgia just wants to have in its class. And so if he doesn't choose Georgia in May, there's going to be a serious push from the Bulldogs for at least, you know, the next 7 months after that.
Let's go away from predicting where he's going to land here for a moment. Let's talk about Popoe as a player here, because I'm a big believer that despite the fact that Georgia got Quay Walker of the class of 2018, and, you know, despite the fact that you've got a Channing Tindall in that class for Georgia for 2018, you know, these are some guys that could potentially do some of the same things that that Popoe might do. I still view Popoe as an incredibly important player for 2019 for Georgia, more than just a luxury, a guy that Georgia really needs if it wants to stockpile the kind of players that could potentially be the next Roquan Smith, which is the tab that Popoe has kind of gotten, and Tindall's kind of gotten here a little bit as well. I mean, how do you evaluate him as a player? I don't know if you can compare him to some of those 2018 linebackers I just mentioned, but what do you think of Popoe as a player, regardless of where he ends up for his college future?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that his play has sort of spoken for itself. The fact that he's, you know, been invited out to the opening the last 2 years, first underclassman invited out there, he has proven some things on the field. I think what really stands out to me about Owen is just his speed as a linebacker. I mean, and that's what Auburn wants from his linebacker. He is a little bit undersized, and I think that he's not, you know, not to say he doesn't have the frame to build upon that, but, I mean, then Roquan Smith, I mean, he was probably about 195 pounds when he was coming out of high school, so, you know, it's not like you can't change your body while you're in college, but he is a little bit undersized. His speed is really what Auburn likes. I mean, Travis Williams was an undersized linebacker at Auburn that just liked to run sideline to sideline. But I just think that Owen is so fast, and he moves around so well. I mean, he really is freakishly athletic for a linebacker. I think that if you can build on that body, I mean, he has the potential to be, I mean, he's the number 7 ranked player in the country for a reason. I mean, he has the ability to be that, you know, top-tier type of linebacker from this class. I think that, you know, to me, I love Channing Tindall for Georgia. I mean, last year I thought he was probably the best linebacker in the class. I can see, and I mean, I've spoken with Justin Tell, obviously, a lot about Owen and Channing over the course of the last year, and I think Channing has the opportunity to step in and play immediately for Georgia. And so you look at some of the guys on this Georgia roster, Walter Grant, Channing Tindall. I mean, there's some serious dudes at linebacker for Georgia this next year. So it's not like Owen would immediately step in and play at Georgia. Now, I think that one thing Georgia fans are starting to get accustomed to is this idea that they're going to be getting the best players every single year in these recruiting classes, and more often than not, those guys are, you know, not staying for four seasons. And so I think that it's even more important now to replenish every single year. So even though you do get a guy like Channing Tindall, you still really want a guy like Owen Favreau, because there's no telling that Channing Tindall will be there for more than 3 years just because of his athletic freakishness as well. I think the world of Owen as both a player and a person. I mean, he's one of my, more favorite guys to cover in this class, to be honest with you.
Let's get ready to finish up with this, if you don't mind. You addressed a subject a moment ago that I think is incredibly important here. You know, if you look at the 2018 class, Auburn comes into the state of Georgia for guys like Quindarius Monday and Hill, the receiver from Brookwood. But for the most part, those were guys that Georgia wasn't, for whatever reason, not really involved with that much. It was a year that Georgia really closed the borders as well as it ever has. The Owen Popoe story here, as much as anything, as you pointed out a moment ago, is about Auburn trying to reinsert itself within the state of Georgia once again, correct?
Absolutely, and I think that's why they have made a point to go toward Owen. And, I mean, honestly, you know, Georgia fans aren't going to want to hear this either. I don't think they have much to be concerned about. But Jaden Hazelwood has visited Auburn several times this spring. I mean, they are, I think, making a point to recruit against Georgia this year in ways to try and win some of these battles, because they just didn't. It's not even last year that they didn't win any of the battles. Really, they weren't competitive in many of them. I mean, I know that Justin Fields was visiting Auburn, and, you know, some of the out-of-state guys, Luke Ford, Channing Tindall, were looking at Auburn as well. But really, I mean, Georgia just dominated Auburn in every single recruiting battle they had in the 2018 cycle. And so Auburn, I think, going for a guy like Owen Popoe, it's more than just how good of a player he is and the need that Auburn's going to have at linebacker after this season. It's the fact that he's the number 7 player in the country. He's a guy that's very well respected by other players within the state. And they know that if they can get a guy like that to jump on board in May, then it just sets the stage for the next 7 months. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people saying, why would Owen Popoe choose Auburn? Yeah, I mean, you know, Brandon, I've got a lot of Georgia people around me. They are, you know, regularly saying, why would he choose Auburn? And I think that what people forget is these last two recruiting cycles, Auburn was dealing with a head coach on the hot seat. I mean, I had to talk with pretty much every recruit over the last two recruiting cycles about what they think of all of the Gus Malzahn hot seat talk. And he signed a 7-year contract, and that's going to change the way that recruits view a place like Auburn, just because there's so much more stability than there has been the last 2 years. And I feel like they maybe didn't feel like they had an opportunity to go after a guy like Owen Popoe last cycle. But this year, they have the confidence to do so.
It should be a fascinating thing to watch itself play out. Ben, we appreciate you giving us some time while you're on a vacation. Enjoy the rest of your time off here. And thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Always love being on, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really interesting stuff there from Benjamin Walt, good recruiting analyst from SECCountry.com. Good to have him here today on our program. By the way, before we transition to our SEC Through here and tell you about some of the things happening around the SEC, including a little bit more interesting stuff coming out of Auburn here, the school that Ben Walt covers for SEC Country. Let me remind you that this upcoming Tuesday, we're going to be live at the Marlowe's in Brookhaven for our big game preview, looking ahead to the Georgia Spring game the following Saturday. It's this upcoming Tuesday. It's April 17th from 6 to 8 p.m. We are going to be there. Marlowe's in Brookhaven for that. A lot of surprises for you coming about exactly everything kind of going down here. It is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to, over the course of the next couple days, be telling you a whole lot about that. But if you haven't been able to see us in the Marlowe's in a while, it's actually been a while since we've been at one. Looking forward to making our triumphant return to the Marlowe's in Brookhaven this upcoming Tuesday. A lot of fun, a lot of surprises. We'll tell you all about that. But as they say, go ahead and save the date for this upcoming Tuesday, April 17th, Marlowe's in Brookhaven for our big game preview, looking ahead to the spring game the following Saturday there inside Sanford Stadium. I mentioned some Auburn news. I thought that was kind of interesting. WJOX is a big sports radio station in Birmingham, and on one of their shows this week, they had Jordan Rogers, the former Vanderbilt quarterback, I guess also former Bachelor star, is that right? He's also an SEC Network analyst, does a lot of games, and he's on one of the WJOX shows, and he was talking about how last year, Auburn quarterback Jared Stidham, according to Rogers, was frustrated that he didn't feel like he was getting to do enough at the line of scrimmage, that maybe he was a bit handcuffed by the play calling there. Which is just another, you know, sort of added level of spice to an Auburn situation that's already pretty interesting here. I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago that Rhett Lashley, who left Auburn after being given the play-calling duties to go be offensive coordinator at UConn, explained to The Athletic, which is a subscription-based online site, that the reason why he left was because he knew that Gus Malzahn was going to always be, in some form or fashion, desiring to be involved in the Auburn offense. So you've got this potential tug of war between Chip Lindsey, the new offensive coordinator, and Malzahn, the offensive-minded head coach. Adding into that, Jared Stidham, who came back to college for one more year because he wants to audition his talents to be a first-round pick next April. And, well, he doesn't really feel like at least according to Jordan Rodgers, the play calling is the freedom of offense here is showing off his ability to read defense at the line of scrimmage and then change plays and then kind of, you know, move the offense in a different direction. This is very interesting. Obviously, Malzahn as a head coach has been one that wants to build his offense around running backs in the past. I don't think that's going to change too much for Auburn, but this is the best quarterback that Auburn's had on campus since Cam Newton for sure, and among the best quarterbacks, I think, in sort of modern history there on the Plains. How they treat and how they handle Jared Stidham this season, I think, is going to be incredibly interesting. Speaking of Auburn, former Auburn coach Tommy Tuberville was also on WJOX this week, and, well, he made a case about the Alabama quarterback situation that Alabama needs to start Jalen Hurts. This is an old guard head coach, old school guy. Probably not a huge surprise that he's sort of sticking with the status quo. It seems like that's one of the things that coaches like. They don't prefer change unless it's just absolutely inevitable and absolutely, you know, a mandate that it has to happen. What I do kind of find somewhat interesting about this is that you haven't really heard that many people speak up in defense of Jalen Hurts this offseason. It almost seems to be a foregone conclusion that Tua Tagovailoa, when he's fully healthy, when that broken thumb is fully healed, that he's going to emerge as the Alabama starter and be the guy all season for the Crimson Tide. But I think we all need to be careful when everybody thinks the same thing, because when's the last time that everybody was right about anything? It's kind of funny to see that contrarian opinion finally pop up here on Jalen Hurts, even if it comes from Tommy Tuberville for somewhat predictable reasons. Kind of interesting that he supports Hurts over Tua Tagovailoa. This is also a story to continue to monitor. Sort of a weird thing from Alabama here on Twitter. Daniel Carlson, as we talked about on SEC Country Live yesterday afternoon, goes on the Feinbaum show. Probably got taken out of context a bit, but he was bragging about his Auburn team being the state champions after their Iron Bowl win against Alabama. And, of course, that's despite the fact that Alabama goes on to win the national championship. The official Alabama football Twitter account had some fun with this. If you're watching on video, we can show this to you. Obviously, you're listening. I'll try to describe it. Alabama football responds back to Daniel Carlson saying, "We just saw this. A little busy yesterday." That's sort of a wink, wink, nod, nod, a reference to the Crimson Tide trip to the White House. And then I have to admit, I'm 1,000 years old. I don't really understand this meme. This is SpongeBob SquarePants related. Is this a famous popular meme, or is this just a one-time deal? This is a famous popular meme. So there is the Iron Bowl trophy in the chum bucket. And where is the Alabama trophy supposed to be? Is this also SpongeBob's house or something like that? It's where? This is Krusty Krab. See, I'm the least cool person in the world, but I sort of feel like this is somewhat beneath Alabama to be putting this out there on Twitter. Some of the Twitter responses also kind of suggest that as well. This is not befitting of a national champion. It also kind of diminishes the stature of the Iron Bowl, a rivalry that they're also going to kind of want to care about here in the future. But nonetheless, Alabama does that on Twitter there. Let me squeeze in one more story here for our SEC through. We're going to play the video for this actually on SEC Country Live later on this afternoon. So Tennessee releases a video of former quarterback Peyton Manning talking about all the things that he likes about brand new coach Jeremy Pruitt, and that's to be expected. There's a lot of these sort of public information campaigns, you know, sort of propaganda, if you will, that kind of comes out with these programs every time they get a new coach. But what I couldn't help but notice, and obviously this subject doesn't come up in this video, but, you know, Manning was discovered to have been a behind-the-scenes supporter of Greg Schiano. Manning was, you know, close to Jimmy Haslam, the Cleveland Browns owner. Haslam was obviously pushing more than anybody else to bring Schiano in as head coach. And obviously there was revolt by Vols fans against the Schiano hire. Now, if you're sort of keeping track here and doing the math at home, if Manning liked Schiano, Vols fans didn't like Schiano, shouldn't that mean there's a little bit of bad blood between Vols fans and Peyton Manning? Now, that doesn't seem like they want to do the math on that either. They kind of want to ignore Manning's role in all this, but there may be a little rehabilitation going on with a Peyton Manning there in Knoxville. We'll address that more on a SEC Country Live later on this afternoon. For now, though, we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily Now, I want to get back to Georgia football for a moment. And I told you about this a little earlier in our program. I thought the Kirby Smart on Saturday said something pretty fascinating. You know, one of the names that has popped up in conversation around Georgia this spring, almost as much as anybody else in terms of individual guys that Kirby Smart's been asked questions about, and then that Kirby Smart sort of says more than the few, you know, required words about, is the converted defensive back Mark Webb. By now you know the story with Webb. He was a four-star wide receiver for the class of 2017 out of the state of Pennsylvania, a big-time prospect, a really interesting player, and, well, he found a home pretty quickly with his position switch to defensive back, so much so that he was drawing some positive reviews during a practice a year ago and now thought to be in competition maybe, I mean possibly, for a starting job here in 2018. Well, it wasn't a great scrimmage apparently for Webb the other day, but that didn't stop Kirby Smart for giving him, Webb, a pretty bold piece of praise here, compliment here. I think this is kind of interesting what Kirby says about Mark Webb. Take a listen to this. Secondary has obviously been a big topic all spring long. Here's a little more from Kirby on Webb.
I'll just say he didn't have his best day. He got to perform with the ones a lot, and he's got some hamstring soreness. So in defense of Mark, he is probably one of the toughest kids that I've coached since being here. He will not take himself out of practice, and I think he's got a will that's a little bit slow. But he gave him a couple plays, and it's part of the growing process. So he's in a stiff competition with Tyreek and Eric Stokes and Amir Speed, and he continues to grow and develop. But he's physical and he's tough, and I like those two things about him.
I said this a moment ago earlier in the show. We were playing some audio from Georgia tight end Isaac Nada. I'm always interested within the span of a couple of sentences. You know, our clips that we usually play are somewhere around 30 seconds. Anything that someone says twice is generally pretty important to that person. You know, the clip from Isaac Nada a moment ago, in the span of about 30 seconds, he brought up twice the fact that Jim Chaney's coached tight ends at the NFL level. He knows how to bring NFL-style techniques down to the college level. He mentioned that twice. That's obviously important to Nada, who wants to play in the NFL himself one day. Same thing for Kirby Smart here. In the span of about a 30-second or so clip talking about converted defensive back Mark Webb, Kirby Smart mentions twice how tough he is, even saying that since I've been at Georgia, this is one of the toughest players that I've kind of come in contact with. And we'll find out for ourselves when Webb's more a part of the action on the field just how true that really is. But Kirby Smart, when it comes to toughness and physicality, that's an evaluation that he takes very seriously. I don't think that Kirby Smart would put himself out there on something like that unless he'd seen a lot of evidence to suggest that really is true. We know the story of the Georgia secondary. I believe to be national championship level, it does need an upgrade, both in terms of the talent at those positions and the mindset with which those guys play. It seems like when it comes to mindset, Mark Webb may be more than capable of bringing that to the table. It's going to be fun to watch him on G-Day and then upcoming this fall as well. All right, as we get ready to wrap up here today on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, a couple things to remind you of. First of all, we do our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily each and every day. We believe that Florida is the most important rival for Georgia, and we think 198 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party and gets another win over those nasty, stinking Gators, and we'll do it every day between now and then. It's our Gator Hater Countdown here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. I will also tell you that coming up on Friday, Diamond Dogs back in action in Athens once again. They're going to host Kentucky after dropping the first SEC series of the season of the Diamond Dogs against Vanderbilt this past weekend. They'll be back at Foley Field this week, and I know they'd love to have you come out and support them there as they try to get back to their winning ways here in the SEC. Also, we may talk about this on the program tomorrow, but a pretty cool video from Georgia of Sam Pittman. Some really nice things to say about UGA fans. Check that out as well. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza.